As we gather with Jesus and his disciples on what was to be his last night on this earth, we shall be drawn into a common human experience that all of us find hard to cope with, namely the experience of bereavement. Soon after someone dies, those affected by the death, or maybe even before the death, ask a question: how shall we remember them? Sometimes the deceased has left specific instructions that certain objects should be passed on to specific members of the family or friends. During this Lent, I have read a little book, a very helpful little book, I found it, called At Home in Lent, which doesn't mean I've just been sitting at home all Lent, but At Home in Lent. And the author has taken everyday objects in the home and reflected on them using different words of Scripture, particularly the Scriptures that we look at during this season. For instance, tonight, today, the author has chosen an alarm clock. And you may think, what on earth's that got to do with Lent? Well, he connects it with the story of Peter denying Jesus and the cock crowing, the alarm clock. And there are all sorts of chapters like that. And one of the chapters he calls Keepsakes. Haven't we all got keepsakes? He writes this: one of the ways in which we handle the realities of death, grief and loss is to gather keepsakes. Things that remind us of someone, or because they belong to that person, retain something of them for us. We cannot keep the dead with us, but an ornament, an item of clothing or a tool acts as something more than a souvenir, taking on a deeper significance. After a funeral, friends of the deceased may be invited to have something of theirs as a memento. Other things, from jewellery to musical instruments, are passed down through the generations. Who the past owner of an object is can be more important than the object itself or its function. As a simple illustration of all this, I've brought along here two spoons. One of them has got on it JSC, swimming 1903. JSC stands for Jersey Swimming Club, which my mother belonged to. And when she was quite young, she won a prize. So I have a direct connection with her as I hold this spoon, because she received this as a prize. Similarly, there's another one that she won, which has got her initials on. The writer of Ecclesiastes... Now I've dropped it. The writer of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3... a passage often used at funerals, reminds us there is a time to gather and a time to let go. Letting go, that can be very difficult in certain circumstances, but we need to be challenged sometimes and consider what keepsakes we have gathered and ask whether they have served their purpose and need to be discarded. The time to discard may not be now, but when we examine our keepsakes, we can both think of them for what they are and also reflect on who or what they represent. And when we hold one in our hand, we think of the lost loved one. But just as we know there is a time to die and a time to be born, we know that they, like the memento, are gone. So the keepsake emphasizes that they are gone, but also helps to keep their memory alive. So here we are in the upper room, gathered with Jesus to share again the familiar Passover meal hosted by him. The celebration begins and all is following the familiar pattern until Jesus takes the bread and breaks it. Blessed are you, Lord God of the universe. You bring forth bread from the earth. This is the bread of affliction which Israel ate, and it goes on. But no, he doesn't say anything of the sort. Imagine then the atmosphere as Jesus replaces those hallowed words by these shattering new words. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This bread was so soon to be broken on the cross. This is the bread which, if a man eat of it, he shall not hunger again. Jesus was that bread. We've not yet begun to understand these things, but those new shattering words sink in, and we wear puzzled faces and start whispering questions amongst ourselves. And then later on, Jesus picks up the Passover liturgy, and we proceed during the stages of the feast. There are three cups of wine, and the final fourth cup is the cup of freedom, of Exodus. As the committed children of God, we are called to witness this precious gift and make it known to all people on earth. Those who seek justice, those who lack rights and who fight for freedom. Again, we are expecting the familiar words. Blessed are you, Lord God of the universe, creator of the vine. But again, Jesus says something completely new. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. It's almost impossible for us to conceive the utter astonishment and indeed horror with which the disciples would hear those words over the bread and wine for the first time. Eating flesh and drinking blood in any culture are an abomination. But these words will be written onto our hearts, and over the next few days and weeks, as we witness the giving of Jesus' life, body and blood, his life to a Jew, we shall begin to grow away from the literal shock of these words. As we do so, as our Lord commanded, by meeting in one another's homes to break bread and drink the wine, in the presence of our living Lord, we shall experience the power of his words. We shall discover that the language Jesus used was not literal, this is, but rather this signifies. And we shall experience this simple act of worship, making real in the present the events of the past, namely, of course, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins. How typical of Jesus to leave us a keepsake with which we can remember him using ordinary everyday objects, bread and wine, and imbue them with a new power and significance. So as we receive these keepsakes of bread and wine once again in this Eucharist night, we are challenged not just to remember the Jesus of history, but also the significance of that history in our lives. As the hymn puts it, we are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Here is a keepsake that we would never want to throw away. Here is a keepsake that will forever remind us that the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Amen.